We need to give with a heart that is worshiping the Lord, that is giving back those things first, understanding that those things will be provided for those who are serving. They'll also be for those who are in need. We rejoice over that. If you're in a church and those who are running the church are worshiping God rightly and the word is going forth, you should be thankful for that and want them to be provided for. There should be a joy in that.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we continue our look at what biblical worship should look like from Nehemiah chapter 12.
Yes, Dave, we do. And I believe this passage will continue to revolutionize our view of worship in the church. So turn with us to Nehemiah chapter 12, and we're going to begin with verse 44.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
We're hardened. We're redeemed. We're those whom sin is not the issue anymore eternally. We're going to be glorified. We're going to be with the Lord forever. And now we're being set apart and made like Jesus because we have been declared right with Jesus through his blood on the cross, right with God. And so we have this tremendous reality. So that should be part of our worship service. You know, it should be organized, it should be filled with songs and praise to God, but it should also be the sacrifice, pointing to that sacrifice, and there should be joy. And notice the joy was heard afar. They're rejoicing in what those sacrifices pointed to, great sacrifice. Rejoice because God had given them great joy. You know, when you're thinking about the Lord Jesus, you're going to have joy. God's going to give you great joy. When you're thinking about yourself and all your problems, no great joy there, okay? You give those over to the Lord. You cast those cares upon a loving God who loves you. You humble yourself, and he's going to bless you with joy, the joy of the Lord, which Nehemiah said, which is our strength. The joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And so then, we come to our passage now where we have the second to the last principles that we see from this passage about our corporate worship. And here, I believe we're going to see that our worship service will include worshipful offering. It's going to include that. We're going to be driven by joy to give to those who are bringing about this so that God is glorified, as God has prescribed it, as we're going to see. And he says here in our passage, on that day, verse 44, our passage begins, men were also appointed over the chambers for the stores, for the contributions, the first fruits, the tithes, to gather into them from the fields of the cities the portions required by the law for the priests and the Levites. For, notice this, and we'll see it in a minute, for Judah rejoiced over the priests and Levites who served. There was a great joy of all in Judah there because of those who served in the worship of God. There was a great joy. They recognized there were those who were gifted and placed by God in certain positions to bring about the singing, the worship, and we'll see the word of God. And they rejoiced over that, and they wanted them to be provided for as per God's provision in his word. And they rejoiced to do it. This is part of our worship. This is why we have an offering during our worship time. This is why we do so. It is part of worship of the Lord, to provide for the needs of those serving him and the needs of the body of Christ. And we see that principle here. He says, on that day, and again, what day is that? The dedication of the wall. On that day, he says here, men were appointed over the chambers, okay? So we have this portion here over the chambers for the stores, the contributions, the first fruits, and the tithes to gather them into from the fields of the cities, portions required by the law for the priests and Levites. Now, back then, unlike our time, yes, they had money, they had gold and silver, but primarily their wealth was measured in their flocks and their crops, primarily. You know, we primarily, when we give, it's a check or it's an internet contribution or it's money, whatever it is, that's primarily what we do. We certainly might give a portion of what our fig tree has brought forth or whatever it might be for people to have, but we primarily give that way. But here, they gave of their crops and their goods. We see that. Look at Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 37. Go back to Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 37, because we see this principle here. Back in this portion, they were saying, hey, we're no longer going to neglect the house of God. They're confessing that, their sin, they're not going to do it. And they say, here's what we're going to do. But notice what they do. Nehemiah 10:37. We will also bring the first of our dough, our contributions, the fruit of every tree, the new wine and the oil to the priests at the chambers of the house of God, and the tithe of our ground to the Levites. For the Levites are they who are to receive the tithes in all the rural towns. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites shall receive tithes, and the Levites shall bring them up the tenth of the tithes to the house of God, to the chambers of the storehouse. Again, they're bringing these things to the storehouses, right? It's not cash. It's not money. It's those things. It's the crops. It's those things that they have in abundance. And he says here, for the sons of Israel and the sons of Levi shall bring the contribution of grain, the new wine, the oil to the chambers. And there are the utensils of the sanctuary, the priests who are ministering, the gatekeepers and the singers. We keep seeing that, don't we? And thus we will not neglect the house of our God. So then, these are the tithes and offerings, primarily of dough, fruit, every tree, of grain and wine and oil. And they needed to be collected. Evidently, they were offering that, yes, I want to give that. I want to give that freely. And so they had to appoint people to go collect those things from the towns. And that's what they're talking about here. During this worship service, they're like, appoint those people. They're so joyful. Appoint them to go receive the tithes. We see that again on that day, back in verse 44, men were also appointed over the chambers for the stores. That's where they store all the contributions, right? The contributions for the first fruits, the tithes, to gather into them from the fields of the cities, the portions required by the law for the priests and Levites. These were the tithes and offerings that supported those who were ministering in the worship of the Lord in the temple. The tithes and offerings for the priests and Levites. They were in charge of the worship. And we'll see also there those who were singers. They were Levites. There were those teaching. Levites were teaching. There was the gatekeepers. There was a store watch. The people watching the stores, gathering that. And so then, notice why they were to do this. Notice why they appointed them. Why did they appoint these people? End of verse 44. For Judah rejoiced over the priests and Levites who served. They rejoiced. They had joy because these priests and Levites were serving the living God. And everything that we saw through the word, as we'll see later on, the word being brought forth through the Levites, as we saw earlier in chapter 8, and we'll see today, through the Levites, the singers, the skilled people, all that, those who were serving and gathering things up, all that, they rejoiced. They praised the Lord for that. And so they desired to have what God had ordained be brought forth. And so they appointed it to be done. That's part of the worship service, part of their worship, and that's part of our worship. Now, it's different now. For us, it's different. We give over the internet. We give maybe a check or whatever it might be, but we need to give with a heart that is worshiping the Lord, that is giving back those things first, understanding that those things will be provided for those who are serving. There'll be provision for them. There'll also be for those who are in need. We understand that. We rejoice over that. If you're in a church and those who are running the church are worshiping God rightly and the word is going forth, you should be thankful for that and want them to be provided for. You'll see that. There should be a joy in that. Now, here in this church, I've always been blessed. We've always been blessed because this church is generous. This church is gracious. God has been gracious through. We've always been provided for, and I thank God for that. I praise Him for that. And we see this principle in the New Testament, this principle that those who serve the Lord full time in ministry should be provided for through the ministry, through the people. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, because I want to show before this principle about there should be joy. They rejoiced over joy and they wanted to give. And I want to look at that first. And we've been going through 2 Corinthians on Wednesday nights, and we've seen this passage. But this shows us the heart attitude that is behind our giving, which we see in the people here. And then we'll get to those other principles in a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Now the context is giving. That's the context. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And boy, these people were cheerful. They were rejoicing, right? And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. He said, hey, you know, if you're giving with the right heart, God's going to supply to give more. Now, it's not a give to get or a give to give. It is a give that God would supply for even more praise and honor for him. Notice what he says here. He says, as it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness abides forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, that's God, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched, overflowing. We saw that in everything for all liberality. He's going to bring about that you can be more overflowing in your giving. Okay? He says here, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. You see, with the right heart, you should be praising God. That's what should be behind our giving. He says here, thanksgiving to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. It's beyond words. Thanks be to God. It's the same heart attitude in which God gave his son that we should have when we give back to him, just free and from a joyful, gracious heart. So then, they were rejoicing over those who served. For Judah rejoiced back in the end of verse 44 in chapter 12 of Nehemiah. They rejoiced over those who served. And then notice there's an explanation about their serving. Verse 45. For they, that's the priests and Levites, those are those who served that they were rejoicing over and were prompted to give to, right? What God had ordained. For they performed the worship of their God and service of purification together with the singers and the gatekeepers in accordance with the command of David and his son Solomon. These are those who were performing the ministry of worship, singing and serving, right? That's who they were. And they were the ones who were to receive these offerings. They were to receive the tithes and offerings gathered by men that were appointed, these who performed the worship of their God and service of purification, together with the singers and gatekeepers in accordance with the command of David and of his son. We saw that earlier. We saw that David had laid forth commands for how God's people were to worship. And we see that in here. It was in accordance with that command. And we saw back in chapter 12, verse 36, concerning the choir procession, and second to last phrase, with the musical instruments, verse 36, of David, the man of God. And David is mentioned six times in chapter 12, four of those in direct reference to worship. And two of those times we see he's called the man of God. And so here we have the man of God who prescribed, verse 24, division by division, who gives praise and thanks. The musical instruments of David, verse 36. And we have in our passage, for in the days of David, verse 46 now, let's go to verse 46. Days of David and Asaph. In ancient times, there were leaders of singers, songs of praise and hymns of thanksgiving to God. So the way the flow in this passage is, says they appointed people to give these gifts that God had ordained or given to those who are serving in the context of worship. And he's going to say, for back in David's time, they had singers. And they're going to say, even in Zerubbabel's time, that's when they first came out of their exile, up to Nehemiah, they did this. And so they're saying, this is part of their worship. This is part of their worship. And we didn't have time. We looked at it partially the last few times, but in 1 Chronicles 25 and 26, we see the prescription of worship that David shares. We see that in that portion. That's most likely where this comes from. And so we have an explanation in verse 46 about those who praise and serve the Lord in accordance with the command of David. It says here in verse 46, for in the days of David and Asaph in ancient times, there were leaders of the singers, songs of praise and hymns with thanksgiving to God. And now he speaks of it, like I mentioned, from the beginning of the exile up to Nehemiah. Verse 47, and so all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the governor. He should have been king, but he was under those who had let him go from Babylon, been able to come back to build the foundation of the temple. That's at the very beginning, the first release back when they came back from exile. Then he says here, also all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and Nehemiah, that's up to present, gave the portions due the singers, this is the middle of 47, and the gatekeepers as each day required and set apart the consecrated portion for the Levites And the Levites set apart the consecrated portion for the sons of Aaron. So you got the Levites in general setting apart for the Levites, and then they set apart within that a portion for the priests, the sons of Aaron. You have the Levitical priests, you have the Levites, and you have the priests, which were inside that group, the sons of Aaron. So they were given these contributions, and then they set apart to give to the priests within that. So here we have those who served in the worship of God in different roles were to receive portions due as each day required. We see that here in verse 47. And it was on that day that they were appointed over the whole contribution system, verse 44, for tithes and offerings. And it's the same thing that had been done from David up through Nehemiah. And it was done because of joy, for all Judah rejoiced over the priests and Levites who served. You see, the reality is God has ordained that those who serve him in this manner are to be taken care of, to be compensated, to be taken care of. He ordained that in the Old Testament, and we see this principle in the New Testament. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. It's interesting because he's going to say, let each man bear his own burden, as though you should take care of yourself. But then he's going to say, in bearing your own burden, you should provide for those who are teaching you. Very interesting. Galatians 6, verse 6, and I just paraphrase verse 5, and then let's take a look at verse 6. Galatians 6, verse 6, and let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. That's pretty plain. I don't need to explain that. That's just straightforward. Just says what should be done. And then he's going to give a principle that if you're chintzy, you're going to reap chintzy. And you may be reaping from the flesh because you're in the flesh rather than in the spirit. Notice what he says here. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We have a principle there. Those who are taught should share all good things with those who teach you, right? That's what it says. Then look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And here, the Apostle Paul is going to talk about the rights that he has as an apostle in the context. But these aren't rights that Paul puts his foot down for and says, I need this. We see in other places where Paul is talking about how he could be provided for. We see when he came to the Thessalonians, he chose not to receive money from them so he wouldn't stumble them because they were a new church and they also had a problem with work. So he showed them by example his working. But there's a principle in general, but that's in the context of wisdom, not stumbling those who might be stumbled. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Or do Barnabas and I not have the right to refrain from working? Who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of the fruit of it? Or who tends a flock and does not use the milk of the flock? I'm not speaking these things according to human judgment, am I? Or does not the law also say these things? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing. He's going to take an Old Testament principle, which we see even in our giving here, in the Old Testament, the giving there, he's going to apply it to the New Testament here. He says here, God is not concerned about oxen, is he? Or is he speaking altogether for our sake? Yes, for our sake it is written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. If we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much that we should reap material things from you? He's saying that those who share the gospel full time in this context have a right to gain from the gospel, from that ministry. He's saying they have a right. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now in 1 Timothy 5, he's talking about widows who are widows indeed, and how they are to be provided financially by the church. It's financial provision he's talking about for those who are widows indeed. Now, if they're not widows indeed, the family should take care of them, right? If they're not godly, they're going to need to get somewhere else. But if you've trusted the Lord, you're a widow, you followed him, God's going to take care of you. Don't worry. God's going to take care of you. And so in that context of how widows should be provided for, he moves to speak of the provision for those who preach and teach. 1 Timothy 5:17. It says right after saying the widows indeed should be compensated, let elders who rule well, that means to stand before, be considered worthy of a double honor. That's double pay. That's how I read it. He says here, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Okay? For the scripture says, and this is what Paul quoted from the Old Testament, for you shall not muzzle the ox while he's threshing. And he quoted it in 1 Corinthians in the context of provision for those serving in ministry. And then he quotes Luke, the laborer is worthy of his wages. So, and I mentioned before, we've been blessed. This congregation has always provided abundantly and supplied us with full-time preach and teach. And I'm thankful for God's provision. I'm thankful for God's provision. But I do hear of churches where the pastors are struggling and not being provided for, and it breaks my heart because that's wrong. That's wrong, okay? The church should be focused on giving to supply the needs of those who are bringing forth this worship of God in the context of His Word. It is a biblical principle. It should be part of our worship. So then we see our worship should be immersed not only in all the things we've seen before, but in the context of a rejoicing heart that wants to give for the provision of the body of Christ in that worship. And then look at our last principle here. The worship service will have convicting preaching from the Word. This preaching which elicits a righteous response. Indeed, on that day the Word was read and the people were convicted and responded in obedience in relationship to foreigners, as we'll see. Chapter 13, verse 1, back in Nehemiah. On that day, they read aloud from the book of Moses in the hearing of the people. On that day. Again, these are these things. On that day, Nehemiah wants to make sure that you know this happened on that day. He could have just been saying these things, but you might get distracted. Think it was some other time. He's saying, on this day, on this day, on this day, this happened. This happened. He says, on that day, they read aloud from the book of Moses in the hearing of the people. Now, he doesn't explain who they are, and he doesn't even talk very much about the reading of the book, which we're going to see happen back in chapter 8 at a different time. On that day, they read aloud from the book of Moses. Now, the book of Moses would be the law. We have the Pentateuch that Moses brought forth. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right? We have those five books initially, right? There's certainly the prophets, and there's also the wisdom writings. But here they read from the book of Moses. They read from the book of Moses on that day. Now, who is the they? He doesn't say who the they are. He's assuming that after studying this book and reading through it, we know who the they are. Because notice, on that day, they read aloud the book of Moses in the hearing of what? The people. So the people are not the they. The people are not the they. The they, it implies, are Levites and priests. That's what it implies. And that's what happened. It implies that this is part of worship. On that day, and it's the very final thing we see. It is the final thing we see in this worship service, is the reading of the Word of God. He says here, on that day, they read the book of Moses in the hearing of the people.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, it's clear that our worship should also include a worship of the Lord through giving. Yet this giving must be done with a right heart.
Yes, Dave, and as we've seen, our worship should include a joyous, worshipful giving of our finances unto the Lord. Yet this must all be done with a right heart. And I'd posit to you now that if you have a right heart, you're going to want to give. So let me ask you, is joyous giving of the first fruits of how the Lord has blessed you a part of your ongoing worship? If not, you need to get to the core of why this is not the case. Because if you're following the Lord and right with Him, it should be.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here, for another edition of Equipping the Saints.